Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the November 15 edition of Commodity Week. The U.S. EPA has changed the game for ethanol. Maybe. We'll try to find out what that means and what the marketplace looks like as we move into 2014 in the next 60 days, right here on this edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Farm Direction's Kevin Van Tromp. He's from Raymore, Missouri. Our panelists today include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Greg Johnson from the Andersons from right here in Champaign, Illinois, and Jason Clapp of Risk Management Commodities. He's in Lafayette, Indiana.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's start our discussion with this question. Greg Johnson on Friday afternoon, the United States Environmental Protection Agency, in its wisdom, decided that it would propose a rule, and it owes only a proposed rule at this point, but up to this time, it seems that a proposed rule from U.S. EPA becomes a rule to reduce the 2014 volume of ethanol in the gasoline supply from 14.4 billion gallons under mandate to 13 billion gallons. That would be a reduction of 1.4 billion gallons. How did the trade take it, and what does it mean to the marketplace?
Well, I think it was more of a psychological effect in corn today, more so than an actual effect, because as you look at it, that's just mandated. It doesn't mean we can't use more than that. If the economics dictate, then we will use more than that. But, you know, the EPA is a government agency, and they're subject to political pressure or lobbying pressure, and the oil industry wanted it lowered. The ethanol industry wanted it maintained, and so they kind of compromised and lowered it somewhat. So it's lower than where it was, but it's not as low as what it could have been.
Pete Manhart?
Yeah, it was leaked. The numbers were leaked back in October. We've been aware that they're going to do this, and if we can be profitable, we will continue to make as much as we've been making and maybe more and export it as we have been in the past time. So I don't see it being a big thing except, yeah, it's now in writing. We already knew it was coming.
And Jason Clapp, before you answer the question from Risk Management Commodities there in Lafayette, Indiana, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. Jason Clapp. Just started with Risk Management Commodities back here in May and spent the last 6 years up in northern Illinois working with Consolidated Grain and Barge Company as a grain merchandiser at a river export facility and also at an ethanol plant. And then made the move back down to Indiana to be more involved with the family farm and found this gig here with Risk Management where I can still be involved in the grain markets, which is something that I just feel really good about. I really enjoy the marketing aspect of things. So,
and your view of the Friday U.S. EPA announcement?
No different than the previous two views. I think when you look at it, this is still an economical business, and if the guys are making money at it, they're going to grind corn and make ethanol. And I think the thing to probably look at more now than in previous years will be, what are we doing for exports? So,
let me look back just a bit at this point on your expertise in the cash grain market and ask you whether you believe that producers have sold enough corn at this time. And if not, how they would catch up and when they might think about it.
Sure. Can be thought about any time here. Something we're talking about right now are selling out-of-the-money calls, just in order, a way to help facilitate getting the ball rolling with making some sales. You know, if the market runs higher, we make the sale, fine. If the market doesn't go higher, we collect the premium from the calls, and we move on to the next option month. So,
Greg Johnson?
There still is some carry in the market in the corn anyway, and I think farmers need to take advantage of that. You know, Dease corn has spent a lot of time around 4.25, and typically in these sideways markets where there's plenty of supply, wherever the Dease goes off the board, the March tends to follow. So, you know, right now, July corn is trading, you know, 20, 25 cents higher than that. But if you wait until June or July, everything could go off the board at 4.25. So if you've got bin storage, lock in some of that carry. That's one way to take advantage of this.
December corn, by the way, this week had a high at $4.38, the low on the week, that's the whole of the week, at $4.21.5. And the trade finished at $4.22 a bushel. It was 4.75 lower on the week than it was on last Friday's settlement price. December of next year at $4.59 finished 8.75 of a cent lower. Pete Manhart, do you believe producers should be considering more quickly cash sales than they might have expected?
I think they should be. Anytime we have a nickel to a dime bounce, we ought to be selling. We ought to be doing that, Gary. If we do have a bounce, if they don't want to sell out of the money calls and get a little more for them to add to the price. All three of those things. They ought to be doing some of everything.
Why? What are the reasons behind making the sales?
More available product out there to push the price lower.
Just simply a supply situation at this point.
Basically supply situation that we have more than we need worldwide, and we're going to grow a lot more next year. And if you look at next year's, I would be also selling next year's. It's 40 to 45, 50 higher than this year. So I'd have a bunch of next year sold or out of the money calls sold for next year's.
Jason Clapp, other reasons that you might make a sale other than simple supply is demand constrained. And of course, we have the U.S. EPA announcement that we still have to deal with on that end, but I'm not so certain that it will make much of a difference.
Yeah, I'm not either. Trade acts to me like it's really wanting to get pretty range bound on the corn side of things. You know, making cash sales in the soybean market is kind of a different story there. You know, we've had an opportunity to sell $13 a couple times, and even with today's big down day, you still got a good opportunity to make a pretty good margin on your investment for your soybean crop. So I have you know, of the mind that we sell the cash, and if we look for a reason for re-ownership later, then we'll figure that out as time rolls on.
Greg Johnson, let's turn our attention to the South American bean crop and where it might stand at this point. We'll remind folks that on the week, January beans this week had a high at $13.21.5. Its low is at $12.78. The settlement price there at $12.80.5 was 15.5 cents lower. That Friday to Friday in the changes. November beans of next year, $11.53.5. It finished 7.5 cents lower. They're about halfway through, maybe a little better, in putting the bean crop in South America, Argentina, Brazil.
That's right. And from all indications, they're planting more acres. So if they have good growing conditions throughout that pod filling stage in late Jan, early Feb, bean prices could be a lot lower then. But in the short run, we've got China buying beans here in the U.S. They remember the problems, the logistical problems they had buying beans out of South America last year. So hopefully that will translate into more demand here in the short run. But, you know, it's kind of like walking up a down escalator. You know, this demand keeps us going for a while, but sooner or later we are headed lower unless we know we're going to have a drought either in South America or up here.
So is your opinion that we're walking up that down escalator as fast as the escalator is moving, or are we walking more slowly up the down escalator?
In the short run, we can walk a little bit faster. The Chinese seem to buy beans at $12.50, and then they seem to run out of steam at $13. So at $12.80 today, you know, we can get back up to $13, but sooner or later, $13, we won't get repeated opportunities to continue to sell beans at $13.
And Pete Manhart, $13 beans?
Yep, sell them at $13. We had $13.21 this week, 2 days ago, and here we are, hit a 78 today. That's 40 cents in 2 days. I can see it bouncing back to $13 a while yet, but I'm with Greg. Eventually that $13 will be like the $5 corn. There isn't any of it around anymore.
Any reason to think that the end of the harvest season, Pete, will cause jeopardy at all to the marketplace. It seems to be pretty much wrapped up, but there's still some corn, some soybeans yet to come in.
Well, as you get further along, I mean, the grain that's been sold is probably already sold. The rest of it's in the bin, and it's going to take something extra to get it out. But what's that extra going to be? Go down 50 cents and have a 20-cent bounce? Why not sell it now? And if it goes down 50, you can re-own it on the board.
Are we done here in Champaign County and the east central part of Illinois? Will you be open over the weekend?
We were debating that this week, whether we would have to be open or not. And I think even though there's still a few double crop beans left and just a little bit of corn, the 99% of it's done. So with the rain in the forecast, we decided to be closed this weekend.
Jason, what did you hear about the end of the season? Harvest and yields for both corn and soybeans, did they maintain the good levels?
They certainly did over here, and it's all over but the crying as far as harvest goes. If you look at the farm that Dad and I work on, for example, our double crop beans actually did better than our first crop of beans. So to me, that says something about yield standing in there, and we probably got the production that we say we do. So.
Well, here we stand then, I suppose, at the end of the season, all three of you, and you're saying we should make some sales, but the bin doors are shut. What will make them open them up other than a high price? What kind of scare would have to be put into the marketplace, or what good reason would they have to open that door?
Well, two things that I can think of. One, and we're starting to see it already, the processors and the elevators are taking some of this carry in the cash market out. In other words, they're bumping up their nearby bids to basically their January bids. So if they're telling the farmer November, December, January, it's all the same price. So there's really no incentive to store corn unless you're willing to store it past January. That should get a little bit of corn and beans to move. The other thing is simply time. You know, right now there's no bills that are due, but as we get closer and closer to the first of the year, there's a lot more bills that are due, and I think regardless of the price then, farmers are going to need money, and we'll probably see some movement in corn and beans at that point.
Bills due are always a bad reason, I think, to make a sale. They're a good reason to cover the bill, but they may not, Pete Manhart, be the best reason to make a sale.
No, it never is. Have your plan to sell. If it's unrealistic, you got to sell, and if it goes lower and you want to re-own, be in it that way. But why worry about down 50 cents when you can sell it here, and if it goes down 50, you can rebuy it to watch it go back up possibly. You can at least put a floor under it, or you can sell out of the money calls to add to the price you sell it at.
Okay, so to each of you, and we'll start with you, Jason, on this one. Agriculture has spent 5-6 really good years. Is there any reason producers should expect, and they finally got used to this, but up front it was difficult for them, the very wide swings in the marketplace where we went 15, 20, 25, 30, 50, 60, 70 cents in the soybeans, and we went all the over the board in the corn. Is there a reason to expect those wide ranges on a daily basis at all?
Expectations for that, in my eyes, you have to take that to some kind of a weather event of some sort, be it in South America or up here in the Midwest come next summer. But, our expectations are margins are starting to come down on this thing. Volatility is coming out of the market. And, there's just not – you have a really hard time making a case for these wild swings, I think, coming up in the next year, maybe two.
Pete?
Yeah, it's the wide swings are when there's something happening. Right now, there's nothing happening except prospects of more big crops coming down the road, and that means lower prices. But the bad scare on weather can make it do it. We've got more than we need worldwide. It's just how do we get it moved around? And right now, we can get it moved better than South America, and that's why we still have China buying beans from us, even though they could later buy them cheaper from South America, because they know we can ship them, and they're worried about South America shipping them.
Greg, the one place that U.S. EPA on Friday afternoon didn't change was the biomass-based diesel or soybean diesel, for the most part in the United States. They left it at 1.28 billion gallons. Might that be one place that would be a bright spot to hold the market higher?
Yeah, I think there's a potential there. The fact that they didn't lower it probably gives the funds reason to maybe hang on. That's what it boils down to, is you have to have the funds participate. And the funds are still long soybeans. So, you know, you asked the question earlier, you know, is there still potential for wide swings in the bean market and corn market? Well, in beans, I would say yes, potentially, just because of that reason. The funds are still players. In corn, you have to have a story, and there's really not much of a story with a nearly 2 billion bushel carryout. So the funds aren't participating, and that's why I don't think you'll see much, you know, much of those wild days in the corn market. But we still could in the beans.
Nope, but won't that make farmers happier? The funds won't be in and pushing the wild swing. The speculators are gone.
If we were at $5 or $6 and didn't swing wildly, they would love that. But being sideways at 4.25, not quite the same thing.
All right. We'll wrap the front end of the program up. Here are a couple of other items. The wheat futures finished the soft red winter at 6.55¾, down 12¾. It had a high at 6.75½ and a low at 6.55 on the week. The hard red July at 7.20¾ finished down 12 cents for the week. December live cattle, $133.40, a settlement price on the week, a dollar higher. January feeders at $165.82½, up $1.40 on the week. And December futures down $2.22½ since last Friday at $85.90. We'll come back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Kevin Van Trump of Farm Direction.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. This week was cold with temperatures 4 degrees below average. We also saw about 1/2 to 1 inch of snow in parts of the northern half of the state. And by the way, the normal or average snowfall for November is modest, ranging from 1 to 2 inches in far northern Illinois to around 1 inch in central Illinois, and approaches 0 in far southern Illinois. The snow back in late October and this new snow, there are some sites across northern Illinois that have above normal snowfall for the season so far. According to the National Weather Service forecast, a strong low pressure system will move across Illinois on Sunday. Ahead of this front, we can expect relatively warm, moist air. Highs on Saturday will range from the upper 50s in the northern Illinois to the 60s across the rest of the state. Lows on Sunday morning will be in the 50s. Highs on Sunday will range from the mid-60s in the north to the mid-70s in the south. However, the temperatures will drop rapidly down into the 30s as the cold front passes through on Sunday. There is a 60 to 70% chance of rain on both Saturday and Sunday. The expected rainfall totals over those 2 days could be in the 1/2 to 1 inch range, with thunderstorms possible. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the November 15 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Jason Clapp of Risk Management out of Lafayette, Indiana, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, Kevin Van Trump from Raymore, Missouri, and FarmDirection.com, along with the Van Trump Report, is on the phone line with us. He's our special guest for the afternoon. Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What's your view of the changes US EPA is proposing?
Well, I think the big thing is just, I think the word mandated has to come to mind. You know, just as a lot of guys in the outside markets look at the Bernanke put, so to speak, I think the word mandated is kind of squirreling the funds up here a little bit. The talk and what I got from a few fund guys here early after the announcement was that they're saying maybe 415 to 585 million fewer mandated bushels of demand. Like I said, the key word there is mandated, and I think Pete kind of touched on that. I have known part of an ethanol plant down in Texas and a couple others, and all the CEOs and the guys that I talked to, I mean, they weren't really that worried about the mandate as long as corn prices stay down here. We're the world's low-cost provider in ethanol, and we'll continue to hopefully export. So the exports are going to be the key, but like I said, that spooks the funds a little bit when the government kind of pulls out and takes the word mandate and lowers those bushels.
Kevin, Informa came out with some acreage estimates for next year, basically unchanged from where they were a month ago, but certainly lower in corn and higher in beans. How do you view next year's planting rotation?
You know, I think they're pretty close. We're talking to a lot of guys, a lot of big producers, and I know farmers in the last several years have said they were going to go with fewer corn on corn acres, and they were going to get back to a little bit more traditional rotation, but I think this is the year they make some follow-through here, and we're talking to a lot of guys that are just trying to, you know, I guess mitigate the risk to the downside, I should say. They feel if they're going to have to take a little hit, they'd rather just take it with the beans and have less dollars at work, so to speak, or less, you know, dollars per acre. And I think Informa's awful close on their numbers as of right now anyway, especially if you figure that Feb average in beans stays fairly high relative to corn as we move forward.
Do they look, though, at the fall price? Look at our fall price on beans, $1.20 or more less than this year's bean price, and our corn price is 40 higher. Do they look at that at all?
Yeah, I definitely hear you there, Pete. And, you know, most all the guys continue to run the spreadsheets and continue to tell me that this is the year they're just going to bite the bullet and go with more beans, and they just think their overall cost is going to be cheaper. And the talk is, and the fear, I mean, as we go into that USDA ag outlook, just like you said, we're sitting on a 2 billion bushel carry, and all of a sudden you throw in a 165 yield, which they'll probably start with, and, you know, 91, 92 million acres, we're looking at 14 billion bushel crop again, possibly, and a 3 billion bushel carry. So the corn market during the month of February could get hammered. Beans on the other side of the fence may stay elevated just because the front end keeps them elevated to some degree.
Kevin, do you think there's anything out there in the world that, I don't know, we might be missing? Any black swans, so to speak, as far as old crop goes?
Old crop, you know, I got a different stance than a lot of guys out there, and I got off the phone just a little bit ago with some folks, and, you know, I hate to be a seller right here of old crop. We just can't get our hands around it. I think, you know, all of a sudden we're low-cost provider. We're cheaper than Ukraine. We're cheaper than Brazil. Now, if you would have said it's $7-$8 when we weren't cheaper than anyone, yeah, I can understand it, but all of a sudden now we're back to the cheapest game in town, and, you know, I just don't want to be short the front end of this thing. We like bull spreads. We think there's some potential there, especially bull spreads in beans and meal, and we don't see how they're going to solve the equation in the beans or the meal side of this thing, and that's why we still have some price targets out there. We got a couple of hits this week to make some sales at about 1307 and 1313, and now we're kind of holding out for we got some targets out there from 1326 to about 1372, and you know, we're talking to some pretty sharp players that think this thing could even go higher, just not much of a way to solve this thing here near term.
You have upside objectives then for corn, I take it, too, for targets.
Well, corn, we think, like I think Jason or Greg were saying, we may be a little bit range-bound in the 1415 to 14, I should say 415 to 450 range. Maybe you push above 450 just a hair, or you get a bit nice basis pop, like some guys are saying, and some folks out there may get close to a $5 cash sale. I don't know if it's in the cards, but it looks like that you could maybe make a move if some of this demand continues to play out.
Well, Kevin, you said that farmers might be switching over to beans in a bigger way this year. Does that translate into forward sales? Have they been selling beans below $12? It seems like in our area, $12 is that magical number that people are waiting for. We haven't seen it yet. So do they bite the bullet and lower their sights, or do they wait for those $12 prices?
Yeah, that's the magic question there. We have had quite a few guys now. I will say some of the bigger, smarter guys, it seems that they were going out there and trying to offset some of their risk in 14 and even 15. Some guys drove some stakes in the ground, I would say, once we got up above 1175. So they were looking at $12, just like you were saying, and then some guys just said, hey, we just got to get something done here. And we've seen a few more guys pulling the trigger on 14 and a little 15 around that 1175 mark, 1165.
Pete?
Yeah, I think that 1170 to 75 mark, we've had a lot of people do 14 stuff there. And on corn the same way. I mean, corn hit 475 this week for new crop corn.
Yeah, I think that the risk is definitely in the deferred contracts. There's no question. You know, I hate to even say it because everyone, you know, on the production side doesn't want to hear it, but these funds and a lot of these guys are talking 325 corn and, you know, bean prices that could be around 10, 1020 to 980, and they're throwing those numbers around pretty heavy, and it seems like they all want to be spread the front against the back, and they want to try and do anything they can to continue to short the back ends on the rally. So I think that's got to be our biggest fear moving forward.
So I'm wondering, Kevin, when you look at the 1.88 billion bushel carryout for corn, and we talk about numbers like 325, do those two jive together? Because it just doesn't seem like that should be a number that is put into place. Now, I understand that if we have a big crop coming on, we might move the new crop lower, but I can't see, I'm wondering whether you can see the old crop pushing that kind of downward pressure on it.
Well, the fear is if we sit here and trade and muddle around here in this area and we get past 2013, a lot of these farmers are going to have some bigger cash restraints and some cash burn than folks are talking. And, you know, nobody wants to make sales this year because of tax reasons and implications. But you turn the corner and we're sitting on a 2 billion bushel carry. Let's say the crop just ticks higher from 160. You know, we go from 161 here to 163 on the 87 million. Well, all of a sudden we're above 14 billion. And, you know, sure, they may raise ethanol a hair. You may go to 5 billion on ethanol and a hair in exports. But you're still swimming in corn at $2 billion. Now all of a sudden you go to the Feb outlook. Now this is what the fund's mentality is. They're trying to stay a little ahead of the game and have some foresight vision. All of a sudden they're looking at the USDA coming out on Feb 21st, like we said, and predicting another crop. So, yeah, right here, no, I don't think, you know, that you're talking 325 corn anytime here in 2013. But as you move and turn the page and you get some heavy farmer selling, and then you get the funds continuing to jump on this thing to the downside. You know, it could go, you know, the market's goal is trying to inflict the most pain on some of the non-believers. And I think just as they push it to $8 to an extreme, we'll push it to the downside to an extreme.
And Jason?
Your expectations on next year's plannings, you know, we've got some pretty big bean numbers being thrown around and still some decent corn numbers. Do you think they'll still be that high with lower prices?
I think they will. You know, I think that's kind of what everyone continues to talk about. And we got to remember that these, you know, this is a perfect world. We don't grow a crop in a perfect world the way these people and everyone's wanting to talk. But I suspect there's going to be some type of weather hiccups or some things out there in South America come up here in the in the soybean market. That's why we like being, like I said, if guys are making deferred sales, I'll tell you one thing, if you're making some deferred sales in 14 or something like that, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing you come in and bull spread meal, maybe get long D's over March or some type of play in the meal, because we just think meal's where the play is going to be, because you're going to have your issues, in South America. Brazil's basically set up to be a big exporter of beans and bean oil. When this thing plays around, the U.S. is going to be out of meal, and, basically, you're going to have, you know, the exporters outbidding the domestic crushers in Brazil for the beans, and the meal's going to come up short. So you look to Argentina for your supplies, and Argentina's already going to be a month behind Brazil. So meal's probably where the squeeze is going to come. So if I'm an end user, I don't want to be short the front end of the meal market. And, you know, as a producer, if you make your deferred sales, maybe you can take a little pressure off and play that front end. So.
Hey, Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. Kevin Van Trump is with FarmDirection.com, and with the Van Trump Report, he, of course, is in Raymore, Missouri. Time for a final word from our panelist in studio. We'll start with you, Greg Johnson from the Andersons.
I think in the short run, we've overdone it to the downside a little bit, and there is some upside potential, but I think it's limited. So have your price targets set 20 cents higher in corn, 40 cents higher in beans, because the bigger picture is probably lower prices as we head into next year.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities?
I still think we're in that back-and-forth mode for a while, and yeah, I can go back over that 13 to maybe this week's highs, and corn, I'm not as hot on, but I still think we can get back the 15 that we lost in the last couple weeks.
And a short word from Jason Clapp at Risk Management Commodities.
I think we're getting pretty range-bound on corn here for the balance of the year, and there's some nifty little things we can do with options to help generate some income to help make that corn price look a little better at the end of the day. So,
thank you so much to our panelists and to our guests. That wraps up this November 15 edition of Commodity Week. You can always find us online at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.